Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Hope everybody had a great day. Man, we are more than halfway through. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Twins Royals game tonight after our show, right at 6 o'clock. You're going to get the pregame. And what else do we got here? We got, it's a huge, tomorrow night we get Chiefs Chargers. That's going to be a ton of fun. Right now, just want to give a shout out to our sponsors, Des Moines Orthopedic Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Controls, Iowa Cubs, Northwest Bank, Palmer Group. We couldn't do this without them. And with that being said, I have a special guest on here today. It's 4 o'clock. He is the hardest working man in Iowa City. David, how you doing, buddy?
You know, Stan, I appreciate the kind introduction that, you know, we're strolling along. We're breaking the rock. We're chomping the bit, you know, just going at it. And, who knows? See, maybe I'll get some touchdowns this weekend.
That would not be a bad thing. I went back last night and I listened to right before the season started. You and I were talking, and some of the things that, you know, with the people coming back, were there some questions? Absolutely. There's always questions. I just don't know if they were going to be, I don't think I thought they were going to be this big of questions. And after two games, I get the frustration. And I talked about this on the show yesterday that, I'm like, I've known you now for almost 3 years, and I've never seen you frustrated, and I didn't see it, but I was reading frustration. How are you doing better?
You know, it's obviously I'm frustrated, but I think the Iowa fan base in general is very frustrated. Thus, you know, I mean, especially with me running a message board scene, it's pretty clear to gauge the temperature of where Iowa fans are at right now, and even just, you know, whether it be going to restaurants, going to bars, talking to people, you know, people talking loudly about the team, people are just very frustrated. And I think it's just they're more frustrated that it seems like Iowa's doing nothing to try to change it. And I know you can't change schematically, but you can change some personnel. And, you know, I do think that obviously having really only playing one scholarship wide receiver, having your top running back in Gavin Williams out for the first game and very limited in the second, only got two runs for a total of 10 yards. He's in there for pass blocking, though. I think people just want to see a change of pace because, Steen, I didn't expect Spencer Petras to go back as far as he has. And right now, I'm to the point where you really can't blame Spencer anymore. This is on the coaching staff, why they keep trotting him out there. And I think people just want to see Iowa try to fix things. And it just seems like right now that they're not. And like you probably read my column after the Iowa State game, Iowa's offense right now is insane for all the wrong reasons. They're doing the same thing, expecting different results. And Nevada gave up 56 points to Incarnate Word. I mean, it's not going to be an accurate assessment. Whatever happens this Saturday, it's not going to be an accurate assessment. So I've always said, I told you this before the season two, Steen, if you're going to make a quarterback switch, this is the game you do it. You don't throw Alex Padilla to the Wolves when you travel on the road at Rutgers. Rutgers, by the way, that has beaten Boston College in week one of the college football season.
Yeah, they're playing really well. This was kind of my take is Spencer is a college athlete. Does he need to get interviewed? Absolutely. But his coaching staff's not doing him any favors. Kirk Ferentz saying all the things that he said didn't do him any favors. I haven't seen an interview with Brian Ferentz, and that hasn't done this young man any favors either. The one thing that I would be worried about with him, and the reason I tried to explain to some of my Hawkeye brothers at my real job, and I'm like, here's the deal. This is why I'd make the change. He had open wide receivers going towards the sidelines on four or five different occasions on Saturday's game, and he either underthrew or overthrew every single one of them. If you can't make that pass in that game, you're not making those passes in the Big Ten, and you're not going to win football games. Somebody has to see that.
No question. And, you know, we did get a chance to talk to Brian, but it was after the South Dakota State game, and we probably won't be able to talk to him maybe until the bowl season. I'm not really quite sure what the media layout is going to be, but Steen, you're exactly right. And, you know, just trying to reading back some of the quotes I got from Brian last week, I really do believe, and I've heard chatter about this, Steen, like this, and it all adds up based on Kirk's comments. I'm convinced that Brian Ferentz wants to start Alex Pitti on Saturday. And Kirk saying that it's not fair, Spencer, you know, they don't have some weapons in his body of work. Steen, his body of work is one touchdown, nine picks in the last 10 games. What are we looking at here?
Right.
What are we looking at here?
None of those wide receivers coming back are 6'6 either. So it's not going
to
help.
I mean, Steen, I think they have to be about 8'5" to catch some of these throws that are going over the heads of them.
And for Spencer's credit, he's been out there. He talks. I mean, he's good at that. He is excellent at that. I guarantee you in the film room, he's excellent at that. I watched him diagnose plays. I listened to the interview that he did diagnosing plays. I get all of that. But once you get in there, man, it's you had in Hunter Deckers for Iowa State, did he have an awesome game? Absolutely not. But he game managed. He had, in Iowa State lore, the greatest drive ever. And that's the first time he's been in a hostile environment against a top five defense in the country. And he won a football game.
I would think so. I would think a top five. I would put them probably number four, probably behind Clemson, Georgia, and Bama.
Yeah. And he won a football game. And that was his second start. So it's possible to do that. And it's I don't care. I don't know if it's Spencer. I don't know if it's the coaching staff. But, man, people got to get on the right page.
Here's what I'll say. The more I think about this, I really wonder how much control Brian has over the offense. Now, is his play calling great? No. Did he call an awful game against Iowa State? It's my belief that. I actually think he called a decent game against South Dakota State. I just don't think Iowa could execute. And looking back at the Iowa State film, Steen, Spencer Petras might be one of the least mobile quarterbacks in the country. Just respectfully. Why is every throw he's doing on a bootleg or a rollout? If he's a pocket passer, and he's already struggling with footwork, why do they continue to send him on the run? I know the offensive line hasn't been great, but I'll use Brian Ferentz's assessment that he made. He said against South Dakota State that Spencer Petras had, quote, ample time in the pocket to make throws. And you can tell that Iowa's receivers are frustrated. And you know, to be honest, they should be. As bad as Iowa's offense is, as bad as the running game struggles, as bad as the offensive line has been, there are basic pitches and catches that are being missed. And it's to the point now, Steen, where a 5-yard gain for Iowa through the air is as difficult as other teams throwing a 30-yard pass. That's a problem.
It is. Once again, we're talking to David Eicholt. He's at David Eicholt on Twitter. And then you look at this. Okay, so this Saturday, it's, you know, you can't leave him in for all four quarters, even if you're playing well. You got to get other people some time. You hope you get your wide receivers back. The thing I'm worried about, if you're an Iowa fan, I'm an Iowa fan for the rest of the season for sure. You got to score more points than Rutgers, Michigan, Illinois, Ohio State, Northwestern, Purdue, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. We'll leave Nebraska out. All of those teams, if you take some of their early season games, have all put points on the board. That's an issue.
Here's my thing, and I think back to my preseason prediction. It's myself, Scott Dockerman, and a number of other Iowa beat writers. I mean, we're pretty surprised, Steen, just about how far they've fallen, because even the total yardage, I think they're 100, they're dead last in the country. But the team that's ranked above them has 72 yards more per game than Iowa does. So Iowa's last by a long, long shot. And I think, again, Iowa not putting in new wrinkles, not trying to do certain things, change certain things, and they're just trying to, quote-unquote, clean it up. Well, what, you know, you could put lipstick on a pig. It still ain't going to be pretty, Steen. I mean, they need to change some things. They need to, not even schematically, but they got to give, I think, Iowa fans a reason to believe that this team can turn around. And, you know, you think about Kirk's tenure And I think that he's been able to do that. But I'll tell you, I really don't know if he's going to be able to do that this year. And the thing that really rubbed me the wrong way with his press conference the other day, and I credit Chad Lysico of the Des Moines Register for this. He, myself, asked Kirk a couple of difficult questions, but Chad really, you know, got after him with the data. And essentially what I took away from it was Kirk said, look, not everybody's going to agree with it. I'm sure the fans and the media don't. But I'm the head coach. I'm going to make the decision. If you can't prove why you continue to start Spencer with a body of work and you ask him to elaborate on his body of work, and you have to resort to a managerial tactic of I'm the boss, we do what we say, you had a chance to calm down the temperature of the fan base, and now I think it's just reached a boiling point.
Let's talk about some of the good things that I saw this weekend and I think you'll see for the rest of the season. And we'll start with some of the obscure ones. Cooper DeJean, Schulte, some of the young players coming in, playing big minutes on defense when you had to because the defense was on the field. It seemed like Iowa's defense was on the field for a long time. Some of these young kids playing in that defensive backfield, I was pleasantly surprised, and I am pleasantly happy that that defense is going to carry on for quite a long time.
But it also has a lot more pressure on their shoulders because of how bad the offense has
yes,
been.
Yes, absolutely.
This is a defense I think feels like it needs to score every single game and not give up 1 point in order to win games. I think they said the right things publicly, but Steen, I mean, this is high-level sports. These guys are trying to make the NFL and do great things. I think people would be naive to believe that there's not at least a little bit of tension in that locker room right now. Oh. But as you said, with Cooper DeJean, it's not surprising based off everything I've heard in spring and fall. I think he's going to continue, you know, to improve. I think he's going to be a known Big Ten name by the end of the year. I mean, his teammates rave about him. He has unbelievable athleticism. I would argue he's the most decorated high school athlete in the state's history, and I think he makes a pretty compelling case for that. And Quinn Schulte, I think, has been my big surprise. I thought Xavier Wampo is going to continue to improve and eventually take over that spot, which I think he will. But Quinn Schulte has been razor sharp
yes.
through two games. I've been incredibly impressed with what he's been able to do.
I agree with that. So one other one. I wrote this one down this weekend. If I would have made you bet $100, and it would be if Iowa is not going to be able to drive the field and score, is one side of the bet. Or the other one is that Iowa State is going to have almost a 12-minute, 98-yard drive. Which one you taking for a bet?
I mean, you take the offense.
I
Iowa not being able to do that.
Yeah, I think the reason that that happens now, an Iowa State fan, I was extremely happy. They were on the field. That kind of settled the game right there because they'd been on the field too long.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I know some people were upset about the, you know, Xavier Hutchinson touchdown that they thought he threw down Riley Moss's hands. I thought that was just a good play. It looked worse in real time than it was upon the replay. And I think people were upset when Cooper had a quote-unquote late hit on Hunter Deckers, which I thought was a terrible call because Hunter was still in balance trying to move the ball forward. But at the end of the day, people can't blame that. You gave up a 99-yard drive on 21 plays. But as you mentioned, that defense was incredibly worn down, and Iowa State put it together and seen it's gotten to the point where, you know, when teams get down to that 1 or 2 yard line, people almost expect Iowa's defense to force a safety. So right when they kind of escape that, you're thinking, okay, well, it's coming. Well, Hunter Deckers made plays. I thought Jairal Brock ran incredibly hard, and I think they really, really utilized Iowa's defensive line specifically being tired in that later portion of the game. But, you know, you got to give credit to Matt Campbell. He got over that hump. And I'm intrigued about what they can accomplish the rest of the season. But as you mentioned, I'm still a big, 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 big believer in this Iowa defense, big believer in Torrey Taylor. But right now there's, you know, almost no room for optimism as far as Iowa's offense goes.
Right. And getting back to that out of bounds and that hit, that's a running back or a wide receiver, not a penalty. That was a penalty because it was a quarterback. I'm almost positive that you know that kind of stuff happens. We got a couple minutes left. You're starting to get close to basketball season. Expectations, women's basketball program are through the roof, and I believe the Hawkeye men's are going to be I mean, I think expectations are going to be pretty big. Maybe not as big as what they were last year, but I think they're going to be 80% of that. What's your thought?
I think that's probably a fair assessment. I think people are obviously disappointed that they couldn't land a big in the transfer portal. I think that would have taken the team over the hump, but I think that there's a lot of reasons to be excited. I think Chris Murray is going to be an All-American caliber player. I think he's going to play himself into a lottery pick. There's question marks about the true point guard position. I'm curious to see what DeSante Bowen, the true freshman, can do. We'll see if Aaron Ulis can make that jump, but I think there's plenty of pieces on the men's side. I mean, my expectation for them to be would probably be to be a top six team in the Big Ten and make the NCAA tournament. And, you know, obviously it depends on matchups and if Iowa can get it done, but I think they'll be a really, really fun team to watch. As far as the women go, I think it's, you know, it was a big blow to them that Kylie Fearbox out for the year.
Yes.
After her knee injury, but getting Molly, that makes the acquisition of Molly Davis that much bigger. But I do think that they're going to need to find another guard that can step up immediately. And I think given Iowa's shooting struggles last season, I think that, you know, who knows, maybe we'll see Taylor McCabe, the freshman out of Nebraska, who I believe was the national 3-point shooting champion, see if she can step in there and do some things. But I think the expectations for the women should be through the roof, especially when you look at all the injuries going around the country. I mean, Paige Beckers is going to be out for the year. I believe Ioka Lee is going to be out for the year from Kansas State.
Yeah.
I mean, there's opportunity for Iowa women to do something really, really special, I think.
I agree with your Chris Murray one, too. I'm going to throw another one at you. Patrick McCaffrey is going to either be first or second team All Big Ten. That's my pick early season.
I don't think you're crazy. I think that's very easy.
I don't think so either. I think he's going to take over a lot of that scoring on that basketball team. David, thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, buddy. Take care.
David Eichel, always good. You're listening to Steen on Sports. Be right back.
Here's a look at the Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Wednesday. We are way past halfway. This week's on the down low, downhill. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports at 1700 The Champ, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and website 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up. I did one last night for yesterday's show. Tonight we get Twins and Royals. Twinkies got some work to do. They're five games out. They're at 500. They got to win their games, and they got to win their games when they're playing people that they should be winning games against. And the Royals happen to fit that bill. Tomorrow night, Chiefs Chargers has the chance of being the best game. Might be one of the most important games. Do you give the Chiefs a lead in their division already? Two great quarterbacks. And it's really funny that you say two great quarterbacks, one young, one old. I think there's only a couple years difference between the two. Patrick Mahomes has been in the league longer. So a lot to look forward to. The Twins then play the Guardians, who they're looking up to, on Friday. Saturday, we're going to start with UNI Sacramento State. Sunday, you're going to get Dolphins and Ravens. That might have some runtime tomorrow in Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Then you're going to get the Bengals-Cowboys join in progress. You're going to get the Bears and the Packers. Monday, you're going to get the Titans and the Bills and the Vikings and the Eagles joined in progress. So there you go. It's kind of what's coming up on the radio. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. A brand new branch up in Ames. Three more locations in Omaha. So they're pretty well spread out across the state. Many more up in the northwest part of the state as well. Commitment that you can count on, taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agriculture, wealth management, and private banking. The commitment part is you go in, tell them Steen sent you, open up an account, and you get to see all the things they offer. And then you get to discuss those. And that's what they're going to narrow those down to the ones that you need and want. And then they're going to take care of you, and you don't have anything to worry about. And that is the commitment part that makes banking fun and easy. Northwest Bank, member FDIC. Okay, Want to thank David Eicholt. Listen, when your team is playing amazing and you're a beat guy, it's awesome. But when you have to ask tough questions, it's not easy. David, Kirk Ferentz has been the coach at Iowa longer than David's been alive. And he is tough. He's tough as nails. And he does a great job. And I'm just, I'm so proud to get him, to have him on the show. His the way that he looks at things and the way he does things. It's pretty cool. So at 5 o'clock today, I have Mr. Zach Steenblocks coming in, since I was supposed to have him on yesterday. Maddie Nelson's coming in at 5:21. We're going to talk a little, Iowa State, Ohio, Matt Campbell, Nebraska, and then, the start of the Big 12 season. And it'll be fun to get to talk to Maddie about the Cyclones. So we have all that going on. Just some things that are kind of out there today. I mean, there's stories out there. You know, one of the big ones that I saw today. So Georgia and Tennessee both had home and home series with Oklahoma. And the SEC today told everybody involved that you all are going to have to go look for something else because we can't have that depending on when Oklahoma and Texas move to the SEC. It goes against how they do their scheduling on there. So I think that's going to be, I thought that was kind of an interesting thing that how that is changing. The other is today that minor league baseball players have a union. Arbitrator took a card count today and showed that Major League Players Association has the necessary support, a source said, with knowledge. So minor league baseball union leads huge change. We talked to Randy Wehofer about this 2 or 3 weeks ago. I will try to get him, see if he's available to come in tomorrow. It was really interesting to see, you know, what Randy had to say. And I think he was looking at it that, you know, in a big picture, it makes sense, right? Because minor league baseball, it's not major league baseball, not the same amenities, not any of that. But it could be the downfall of a lot of these smaller markets, smaller leagues, A, double A, you know, what's going to happen with all that. There's any time that you make change in something like that, and the change is the amount of money being paid out, you're going to have organizations that can't afford to do that. And it'll just be nice to get Randy's. I will send out a message to him tonight when I get home from the radio show. So that was some of the big news. A really weird big news. It was found out today, former Mississippi governor and Brett Favre doing welfare fraud to funnel money to, I can't remember if it was, I think it's Mississippi State. It's either Mississippi or Mississippi State. His daughter was playing volleyball there to get new buildings and stuff. the bad thing for whoever the president was and Brett Favre, those are federal funds. That's kind of the same stuff that you're seeing happening when all the things went on during the election and stuff, and you go to federal court. Federal court's a lot different than some others. So I think some people are in some pretty big trouble, not thinking that anybody would even think anything about that. Probably not a good look. And I have a feeling some people are going to have to pay the price. I had today, I have a lot of just like little, but important potpourri, but just kind of smaller potpourri. You have early season, and I don't know what you do if you're the NFL. You know, let's take Keenan Allen's out with a hamstring. There's a couple other guys that are kind of nicked up, didn't play at all during the preseason. I think I think the National Football League has to do some rearranging with the way that they do their preseason. I get that you're trying to see as many people play as possible, but you're also, with a lot of teams, you're not getting your starters or your initial backups enough playing time. It just seems weird that the type of injuries that are out there, but Keenan Allen's out. There's a whole list. They won't come out with their tomorrow morning is when they'll start coming out with all the injury updates, since we have a game tomorrow night with the Chiefs and the Chargers, which you can hear right here at 6 o'clock on 1700 The Champ. So right when I get out of here, man, you're gonna jump right into Kansas City Chief football. And it'll be a happy hour sports with Steen and Scott. So that will be exciting. You take a look at some of these injuries, and it's pretty interesting. They also put division leaders out here today. In the NFC, I think a lot of people out there thought that the Philadelphia Eagles were going to have a good season. They upgraded their defense. They upgraded their line. They upgraded their wide receivers. It was a little bit about Jalen Hurts, but I think once you give Jalen Hurts the proper – I think he's always shown this. If you give him the proper game plan, that he's – I'm not saying he's a game manager, but I think he likes the game plan. I think he likes to know what he's in for and what he's going to see. The Redskins being 1-0 and the New York Giants being 1-0, that's kind of interesting. And the Cowboys being 0-1. Dak Prescott for 4. A lot of talk out there that, well – you know, they didn't put him there because if you put him on the injured reserve, he has to miss 4 games. So the first time he could come back and practice would be in week 5. And I have a feeling that I don't even know if they get to come to the facility if they're on the injured reserve list, except for to meet with trainers. So I think by not doing that, he's still involved. He's still going through all of that. I have not seen anybody that is doctor related say some of the things that football-related people have said, which is, well, maybe he can come back in 3 games. Maybe he can come back in 4 games. I saw a couple of quotes today from surgeons who have had that same surgery for people, but not for the simple fact of going back in and playing a professional football game at a very high level, but just having function with their hand, said 6 weeks. So we'll see which side of that is. You're going to find out with New Orleans and Tampa Bay who is actually the leader in the NFC South, because you are going to they play this weekend, so you're going to get that right away. And I have a neat little thing that I put out on I put out on Twitter today. So you have 16 teams that are undefeated so far during the regular season. And the way that I pick games and just having 2 undefeated teams playing each other, you're going to be down to 8 undefeated teams left after this weekend, and it'll get more and more interesting. The Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears are both 1-0, and the Seattle Seahawks are 1-0, and everybody else in that one are 0-1. In the AFC, the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Browns are all 1-0. Cincinnati 0-1. Miami and Buffalo are 1-0. The Jets and New England are not. Nobody in the AFC South has a win. Tennessee and Jacksonville are 0-1, and Houston and Indianapolis tied. The Chargers and the Chiefs, they play each other this weekend, so one of them is going to go away, and the Broncos and the Raiders are 0-1 as well. Talking one more time about a couple other coaches. I picked on one yesterday, so I'll pick on the first one today, somebody different. Robert Saleh, after their first game, probably people were disappointed. You know, they don't have Zach Wilson, who's supposed to be their quote unquote quarterback. And he stated to all the people that are trashing the New York Jets, that he's keeping a tally, and he's going to come back and rub it in your face. I'm like, God, dude, you got to win some football games before you can start taking tallies on people, not thinking that you're going to be a good football team. It's not just given to you that you're going to be a good football team. for the first time in 24 games, and it could still change before kickoff. The Detroit Lions are favored in a game. They have not been favored in a game for 24 games. That's incredible. That's a season and a half. That's a long time, and it's only 2 points. It was 2.5. It went to 2 today. I saw it at 1.5 before I came on. I came on the show today. So, you know, you have a lot of these. So Robert Saleh was one. Nathaniel Hackett is the other. He can't get out of his way. He came out and said the things that he said before. And today, he even took it a step further and said, hey, we had the 46-yard line as our breaking point. And as soon as we got there, we knew what we needed to do. And nobody called him on this, and I'm trying to figure out why. So his breaking point was the 46-yard line on his side of the football field. What the heck? Okay, that'd have been totally different. If it's the 46 on the other side of the football field, they would have went for 4th and 5. And no one called him on it today. They just kind of let it go and going, okay, he just keeps burying himself. Instead of just saying, listen, I have my quarterback. He's the leader of our team. Everybody was behind him. And I took control and made the wrong call. I mean, he took the necessary steps to say, my bad. But then he doubled down and said, we had a spot we needed to get to. I don't think the spot that you need to get to is on your side of the 50-yard line on the 46. It should have been on their side of there. And instead of being a 64-yard field goal, it's a 54-yard field goal. I don't understand sometimes. I get it. Being a coach, you got so much responsibility, so many different play calls. There's so many things you have to do. If you don't have a good squad around you, and I'm by squad, I mean coaching staffs and assistants and all of that, this stuff starts to fall away. And he, of all the coaches, besides Kirk Ferentz in college, he had the most to answer for this weekend. Robert Saleh didn't have anything to answer for. Nobody thought they were going to be any good. He thought they were going to be good. And then they came out and laid an egg like that. And then he's expecting everybody to just give him a free pass. You get paid way too much money in the NFL to get a free pass. And I don't care if that's players, bench players, anybody, coaching staffs, all the way down to anybody. You're making too much money to be thinking and saying things like what he said. It didn't make any sense to me. It's why, I mean, the New York Jets hired him for all the wrong reasons that I've always talked about. A defensive coordinator coming in, young quarterback, young offensive team. What do? You lose them. That's what you do. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ, AM Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. One more segment in this first hour. Be right back.
101.3 FM and 1700 The Champ is Des Moines' home for professional play-by-play. Every Kansas City Chiefs and sports. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Wednesday. Last segment in this first hour. Boy, that went fast. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 107.5. I love it. 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ. Twins Royals right after we sign off tonight. That will be a good one. This segment is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group, founded in 1998 by Austin Palmer, whose goal was to change the dynamic by serving both clients and candidates. Company purpose is making lives better. The company became employee-owned in 2016 to give employees even more ways to be engaged. Currently it's probably way over 500 jobs, with as many jobs that are open out there in the market. They have openings in accounting and finance, admin, customer service, construction, engineering, manufacturing, information technology, mortgage and banking. getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen. Mr. David Leto is the leader of that organization and does a great job, and it's extremely nice to have them be a part of our show. I welcome that, and it's very interesting to sit down and talk with those guys is a ton of fun. Well, I knew this was coming. This kind of is going to start popping up here sooner or later with the NCAA. The NCAA and the way that it governs collegiate athletics is troublesome at best, with the way that they conduct looking into investigations on what schools are doing, heavy-handedness on some, not heavy-handedness on others, just some of the things that come out, some of the things they're worried about, some of the things they're letting go. It's a whole lot. They, with name, image, and likeness, because they're kind of being pushed in different directions, they kind of just threw their hands up and says, it is what it is. Pay for play. They just kind of threw their hands up and go, I don't know what to do. You know, they are one Supreme Court or one losing another, you know, another one of those fights in Congress to, you know, losing their status. And what a lot of people are thinking, and right now it totally depends. So you have the FBS. And the FBS is the National Football, the NCAA Division I Football Bowl Subdivision. So it's your power conferences. There's 10 of them. 10 of them, 131 schools in FBS, and then you have FCS schools and on down. You know, I think their governance on FCS schools, their governance on Division II and Division III and NAIA, I think all of that is, I think they're, that fits that realm of what the NCAA was set up for. What they're looking at right now, that the NCAA is looking at, and the amount of money that is, that they have to look after, and all the things that come with that, the way conferences are changing, 20 years ago, these conferences wouldn't even have thought about going to Oklahoma and Texas and saying, hey, you guys don't want to be in the Big 12, come and be in the SEC. The Big 10 wouldn't have been going and messing around with USC and UCLA. The Big 12 wouldn't have been grabbing other schools to cover for the two schools that they were just upset that somebody took. There are no governance. The way they induct, they do investigations. I mean, there's been so many different things that they have done wrong. I mean, there are too many to talk about in a show. So you always had this idea that it's going to be different. That the FBS, and I think it's even going to go. I think the first split away is going to be from the FBS. And the FCS and NAIA and Division II and Division III, I think that's going to be the first split. And then I think the second split is going to be what's left of conferences. And the two conferences that are kind of out there that are going to be the ones that are, I don't know if the term, what in play, you know, the ACC and the Pac-12. I think the simple fact that what happened to the Big 12 happened and how they corrected it afterwards, I think that saves the Big 12 over the Pac-12 and what happened to them and how they're trying to recover. Now, does that mean the Pac-12 can't recover? There's no way I'm saying that on my radio show, because I want the best for where my school is, and that's the Big 12. And if I say stuff like that, it's never going to happen. That's just my superstitious way of doing things that I've been doing since I was 4. Never wish for something that you really want, because it'll never come true. That kind of thing. But I think you're either going to get to, you might have a power, you know, you might have four, It might be a really big Power 3 conference, but those people are going to break away, and they're not going to be under the NCAA. And the toughest thing the NCAA has going against them right now is I can't tell you the last time they won a court case. And they have a big court case that's getting ready. I don't know if it's already been heard. I don't know if they've already had to turn in all their stuff, so, you know, to see if they can even move forward. But when all of this was going down and the NCAA went to the courts and went to to senators and to representatives and saying, you guys need to help us, this is why we need help, and blah, blah, blah. I think a couple of their federal court cases didn't go their way, and the next federal court case is going to be, hey, I was playing basketball, I was playing football, I got injured, and I didn't have the things that made it so I can continue on with my life as it is. But look at the NCAA and look what they just got for the football playoffs last year. $500 million. Look what they're getting for bowl games and blah, blah, blah. If the courts don't turn against the NCAA and say, okay, they're no longer student athletes. Now, I think this is going to be another one of those cases where it's FBS Division I, FBS Division I-A, FBS Division I-AA, and then you push some others some other way. They don't want football players and basketball players and volleyball players, they don't want them to be employees. Because in this country, when you have employees, you have to provide health insurance coverage, and you have to pay them, and you have to pay them a fair wage. So all these grand things that have happened to the NCAA with football, with the football playoffs, and with the basketball playoffs, and baseball, and track and field, all that is they just kept taking the money and bringing it in, but not spreading, and not pushing it out there. So everybody was getting a piece of the pie. Well, the courts or the federal government, one or the other, or both, are going to tell them that it's no longer their pie. And that's not going to be a very good situation for the NCAA to be in. So when you're hearing Gene Smith say, at the least, there should be a model underneath the NCAA umbrella that is different division that's FBS-oriented, that would be fine. I'd be supportive of that. Tom McMillan says the preference for FBS governance is to keep it within the NCAA structure and get it more streamlined and less bureaucratic. If not, FBS will look elsewhere. So that gets your talk from an AD, and that gets your talk from a Lead One president that is helping, trying to figure out what the NCAA should do. Tom McMillan was he used to be a politician, a NCAA, a great NCAA athlete. They understand the situation. And the situation only compounds itself when you have coaches out there saying name, image, and likeness in this transfer portal is horrible. It's ruining football. No, what's ruining football is you guys making $20 million and these players making none, and you recruiting all these kids to come to your school and with no ramifications whatsoever, leaving that school and going to another school and coaching when these kids are locked in because of the letter of intent that they sign. Well, your contract, that's a signed contract, didn't have any ramifications unless you had to do a buyout, which the school you were going to, the downfall of all of this was the amount of money that coaches in the NCAA were making and the simple fact that they could get away with doing whatever they wanted and they were punishing kids for wanting to do the same. That's where the downfall came, because we finally, all of us that like watching the kids play football, not you guys coach, went, oh, I don't like this anymore and I'm not going to do that. So we're not going to do that. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Zach Steenblock at 5, Maddie Nelson at 521, Potpourri, the last segment. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700, The Champ.
It's a smooth ride home this afternoon. No accidents, no trouble spots at the moment. We'll keep you updated.
We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards. Or we could talk about how with Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. Talk about amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. This report is sponsored by Discover.
Hi, it's Steve Mann. Have you heard the commercials for the Mark Patrick Stop Smoking seminars? And they said only $49.99 and it could work for you. So I thought, that's not even a week's worth of smoking. So I went. And guess what? It did work for me. You know, my friends and family are still amazed. I quit smoking. I didn't have cravings, anxiety, or weight gain. Listen, I don't know how it works, but I know it works because I'm living proof and it's 100% guaranteed. So what do you got to lose? I'll tell you what you got to lose. A very bad habit.
Join Mark Patrick Seminars and stop smoking now without cravings, irritability, weight gain, or your money back. Only $49.99 guaranteed. Designed to work without anxiety, irritability, or weight gain. For only $49.99, become a non-smoker. That's right. Seminars Saturday, September 17th at the Hyatt Place in Altoona and Sunday, September 18th at the Holiday Inn Hotel and Suites Des Moines Northwest in Des Moines. Stop Smoking Seminar 2 to 4 p.m. Registration 30 minutes before seminar.
It's been 3 years since Principal Park has been host to the Cubs-Cardinals rivalry, but finally, the Memphis Redbirds are back in town for the final full week of iCubs games this season. Enjoy dollar hot dogs on Tuesday night and a day game on Wednesday. Thursday's game is at 6:38, leading into our final weekend of home games. It's the last Friday fireworks show and catch on the field on Saturday. Get the family fun pack bundle and bring the kids to run the bases one more time on Sunday afternoon. Come have more fun with the iCubs and Redbirds this week. For tickets, go to iowacubs.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code IMPACT at checkout. That's harrys.com, code IMPACT. Enjoy!
Your sore joints are keeping you from what you really want to do. DMOS can help. Des Moines Orthopedic Surgeons. DMOS, a nationally recognized team of orthopedic specialists, can help make it happen. At DMOS, we're ready to help you get back to living. Learn more at DMOS.com.
I loved playing high school sports. I loved the competition, the camaraderie, the bands, the crowds, all the pageantry. And I wanted to keep playing. But I graduated. No colleges called, and neither did the pros. So, to stay close to the game I loved, I decided to become a high school official. You know, a referee. When I played high school sports, I learned the importance of integrity, good sportsmanship, and respect for the rules. Now, as a high school official, I get to help model these same values to others. Maybe the colleges and the pros didn't call, but the kids in Iowa did. And now, I'm enjoying the competition, the camaraderie, the bands, the crowds, and all the pageantry of high school sports all over again.
Interested in becoming a licensed high school official? Go to highschoolofficials.com to learn more and begin the application process.
KBGG Des Moines and K267CY Des Moines. 101.3 FM and 1700 The Champ. A Cumulus Media station. Online at 1700thechamp.com. Steen on Sports is on your radio now.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Wednesday. Second hour already. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. It's that time of day. Be careful. Get home safe. We need you home safe. 6 o'clock tonight, you're getting the pregame for Twins Royals. Tomorrow night, huge game. Kansas City Chiefs home, and the Chargers are in town. You're going to see who's the best in the West tomorrow, and you get to hear it right here live. This next segment is going to be brought to you by DeMoss, Des Moines Orthopedic, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. You can check out DeMoss.com and see if you don't have to make an appointment. You can go online. You can look. You can see what the wait times are. It's their urgent care part.